Are you saying you faked with me?
Yeah.
Wrong. Now you're single.
What do you know about sexual relations?
Is it true that if you don't use it, you lose it?
I'm a little worried about being a slut.
You're listening to the Come With Us podcast, presented by Darling Way, talking the good, the kinky, and the ugly. Here are your hosts, Beth, Aaron, and Tina.
Hello, hello. Hello, my darling friends. We are talking about thruples today. So I just had to throw in an extra hello because, you know, we're used to two, but sometimes there's three. Hell, sometimes there's more. You never know what's going to happen. And relationships, they take all kinds. And we get to create our own. And it's kind of funny because no twosome looks the same. No threesome looks the same. And gosh knows anything else more. So glad you decided to come with us today. We're the naughty, fun, sexy education we all wish we'd had years ago. And I promise you, again, I'm in my mid-50s. I had never heard the term thruple in maybe the past 10 years, but hopefully you're younger and you're learning earlier. So glad you're here. I'm Beth Darling, your sexy genius, and here with Aaron and Tina. And we've got Kat with us, who is our special guest who is involved in a thruple threesome. And we've got so many questions for her. Are y'all ready, Aaron and Tina?
I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
We're ready.
Are you nervous about this, Aaron?
No.
No? Okay. Because you're very conservative. People know that you're, you know, grew up Texas and very kind of conservative. You're not used to this idea that relationships are not always hetero twosomes, right?
I really don't care what people do as long as they don't bother me.
There you go.
That's my entire outlook on life. I hate all humans and leave me alone.
Oh, stop that. We're not getting into that. All right, let's just preface this. Aaron's a little bit grumpy today, so we're just going to bear with him and give him lots of love.
That's just who I am.
No, you're not usually this grumpy. Not usually.
Either way. Yes. I think it's funny that people just make up words now, though.
Well, they
because that wasn't a
words.
Real world. Well, that wasn't a real word.
It's the same thing with computer. We didn't used to have computers. When they invented something new, they had to find a different word for it.
It's
the same thing with thruples. Once we
how fast in today's world you can make up a word and it catches on and becomes part of the lexicon immediately.
Well, okay, but thruple just happens to actually work really well too. Threesome, couple.
I mean, there are some stupid ass words that are in the dictionary that aren't
are.
Like thruple, like twerk or
yeah.
like
I'm not just singling out thruple. I'm just saying in general there are. Like, it's funny how fast words, you'll hear a word and go, what the fuck does that mean? And then everybody will use it in 2 weeks and you'll go, oh, okay. And then Webster's will go, oh, yeah, I guess we got to put this in here now.
There you go.
Guess this is a thing now.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. So, Kat, tell us. We're so glad you're here. Thank you very much. And
yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So, okay, tell us, what is a thruple?
A thruple is sort of any relationship where you've got three people in it. That can be whether or not all three of you are directly dating or, you know, two of you are directly dating and one of your people also has another girlfriend, another boyfriend. So any of those like kind of three-person dynamics I include in a thruple.
Wait, so if somebody else has another person, though, is that not a quadruple?
Well, I mean, if we're going to get that technical, I mean, we're kind of a quadruple.
Oh. Okay.
Is it like, would you say like polyamorous is like a way that people describe this? Or is there a difference between someone who's being like polyamorous and in a thruple?
Yeah, so there are some distinguishing like factors between relationships. So some thruples will say that they are not polyamorous just because they keep their dating and their relationships within the three of them. So they're not open to dating more people than are already in their relationship. And so they say like triamory or something.
So that makes sense. So a couple would be like a committed twosome.
Mm-hmm.
A thruple, I guess, is some sort of committed threesome, whatever that relationship looks like.
Yeah.
And then I guess a thruple might be poly by engaging others or not, but the thruple is the
primary. Base unit.
The base unit. Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, and so tell people what kind of thruple are you in?
We've got me, Mike, and Mary. Mike and Mary are both married to each other. They've been together for 16 years or something. And they actually have another girlfriend. Let's call her Jessica. That they have had in their life for the last like 10 years or so. And she lives out of state, so she's kind of just a friend that comes and visits and we have sex with. And then I kind of joined in this last year and a half, 2 years or so, really joining in as Mike's girlfriend and Mary's more like meta more, I think is what she likes to call me. She doesn't want to explicitly call me her girlfriend because we have some drama that we are still figuring out. There are some dynamics that are difficult, but
What's a metamore?
A metamore is just like a fancy way of saying like I am her husband's girlfriend.
Okay.
So meta, I don't know what the word term meta is, but more is like for paramour. Like if in the old fashioned times, if you had a couple and somebody had a lover on the side, that was their paramour. Huh. So amour is love.
Right.
So metamour is like the extra love, I think, outside the relationship. Yeah. So.
And so Mary is hesitant to call me her girlfriend, but we love each other ridiculously and we survive each other through everything. And so whether or not she really wants to call me that isn't a factor to me.
And do you guys live together?
No, they live together and I come and crash at their place pretty often.
Okay.
And
do they have like kids? Like, are you involved in their like family life or like their lives in general and stuff?
Yeah. So as a young woman at the ripe old age of 24, I walked into this relationship where they already have teenage kids. So that was a bit of a shock for me. One of their kids is kind of moved out of the nest, but the younger one is a transgender male. He's also into polyamory and stuff. And he and I have actually gotten really close as friends.
So how did the kids, before you got involved, you said this couple, they've been together 16 years. Are all the kids shared? Are they all both parents?
Kids, yeah.
Okay. So these two parents have kids. They've had one other girlfriend. Like, did the kids know that these parents were sort of open to or whatever, that they had a throuple before with this other woman, Jessica and stuff?
Yeah, so they had met Jessica and they kind of jokingly called her Auntie Jessica. They didn't really understand the relationship. I feel like Mike and Mary were a little bit hesitant about putting it all on the table. And I will admit, I kind of forced their hand. I kind of walked out of their bedroom whilst their two teenagers were like on PlayStation or something on the couch. And I ran out. And then like 2 weeks later when I met one of the younger sons, the youngest son, he was like, oh yeah, I first knew you guys were like polyamorous when this little brunette like ran out of their bedroom and like we knew from then. And I was like, oh, that was me.
Okay. So actually though, that could have been if the couple, if Mike and Mary were really not wanting to share this with the kids, like were they angry at you? Because that certainly could have been a deal breaker.
Yeah. Well, it could have been a deal breaker for them. And it also very well could have and possibly maybe should have been a deal breaker for me, considering I had been in communication with Mike for a while. And I didn't know.
You didn't know he was married?
I knew he was married. No, I absolutely knew that. We, like all three of us were involved that night. It was just that I didn't know that they had children, not teenage children.
How did you meet Mike?
Oh, wow.
Or you met Mike first, right? I'm guessing.
Yeah, I met him first. He showed up at a bar that I worked at. I was a manager for. And he came like every day for lunch for the next month before asking me on a date. And I was a little hesitant. But
was this your first throuple or have you been in one before?
No, so I had been in one formal kind of throuple relationship. And I had kind of tested the waters with a couple other throuple dynamics, but this is the first one that feels like it functions, mm-hmm. and like we're figuring it out, whereas sometimes it just kind of feels like a little bit of a trap, and then if the other people in the throuple aren't willing to work on it with you, then it's not going to go anywhere.
Interesting.
What drew you to throuple?
Yeah,
like
that's
what most of us are thinking is why.
Yeah.
So I say I'm pansexual, and that's really just means I like people. I find I connect to their like spirits or their personalities more than I really connect to their physical body at first.
So some people say they're heterosexual, meaning they are only attracted to people of the opposite sex. Homosexual, only the same actually gender. We should use same opposite gender, same yeah. gender. Bisexual means generally that they're attracted to either gender, but they generally recognize boys as boys, girls as girls, and they're drawn to sort of the stereotype, if you will, of those genders.
Yeah. And then there's even
pansexual is really more, as I understand it, it's being drawn to a particular person, regardless of how they show up in the world, either with whatever genitalia and whatever gender they identify with.
Yeah, I just think people are really cool and have lots to offer. And if I'm narrowing down my search according to genitalia, I feel like I'm going to, you know, not find the crew that I enjoy.
So why more than one person? Why not just, you know, not limit yourself in terms of gender? Why now? You know, why are you in a polyamory or are you in a throuple? Why not just a...
So not only do I think like people are cool and I actually want to meet them for who they are, I want to meet as many people. I want to see as many thems as I can. I want to experience what all of these different interesting folks have to offer. And also just, I have lots of love to give. And when I'm with one person, it can almost feel clingy. Like I'm trying to get every need I have met by them. And that just feels kind of like a trap.
So wait, so I think there's two parts of that. One, you say you have lots of love to give, which is true. But I think clingy is actually when you also need lots of love.
Yes, yes. I will clarify. I definitely need lots and lots of love, and that's what keeps me going.
Right, okay. So, and I think that's fair because, frankly, I have that same thing where I do. I have need for lots of love, and I also have lots to give.
I mean,
so
I also think,
that's true.
A lot of people can relate to that, even if you're in like a regular traditional relationship. Like sometimes you feel like you ask for too much from someone, or you're too clingy, or like you want to hang out with this person more than they want to hang out with you sometimes. So I can see how that would like be a benefit, you know?
Especially when we live in such an individualistic society where the one individual is expected to, you know, have a household, clean the household, have children, take care of the children, have a job, you know, educate and all of this thing. And there's so many roles that we're taking on as a singular human that it's just, it's a lot. It's nice to have some help.
I think, and again, I have trouble with polyamory for my own personal things and jealousy, which we will.
Yeah, it's not for everybody.
We're definitely,
for sure.
I think we're going to do a whole second episode. Like, I think we're going to do this as a two-part because that jealousy, I think, is a big thing. But I liken the idea of having more than one love the same way I wouldn't want to just have one friend.
Yeah.
Just, right, one friend wouldn't go to the baseball game and the ballet and the picnics and the swimming and the travel and the this and that I want to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us would want
well,
to be limited to just one friend.
Well, a relationship is kind of like that. I think it's important to be friends with if you're in like a traditional relationship, you do all those things, you know, in a relationship with that person. And sometimes it can be like, the other side is like it can be suffocating. Sometimes you kind of want someone else, you know, to like, you're right, like
to do things with. Or sometimes because your partner may not want to do the, you know, 162 baseball games a season, and yet one does and one doesn't and stuff. And so this idea that you could have another lover, I know in an ideal world it's just like our friends, that we shouldn't be jealous if our two friends are going to do something and we're
not. I like that you're using a baseball reference instead of just saying like, oh, maybe your girlfriend doesn't want to try anal and you do, so maybe you need to like go find somebody else that's like more.
I need to find a fucking dude.
Don't get her started on anal.
Just like lives in my head these days.
But it's not fair to expect somebody to be comfortable with all of the things you want to do.
For sure. I 100% agree. So.
It is hard. That's the logical, rational part of my brain thinks polyamory is absolutely the ideal way to go. I do understand it.
Oh my God,
it's
sort
of so
hard.
In part, I think it was easier just when there was like a kibbutz or there was a community where everybody was responsible for all the kids and everything. Then whoever was fucking really wasn't as big of a deal. But these days, we've come from a long line. But anyway, we don't need to go off into the whole the theory of it and stuff. But in practice, it is then very, very different because so now the kids know about it and they didn't have any problems with it.
No, the older one was a little bit uneasy, but honestly, I took him to like Starbucks a couple times. I got to hang out with him kind of one-on-one, and he, like we had some of these discussions topically. I mean topically by just like surface level conversations, because yeah, he was really hesitant about it and he was kind of concerned that I was like stepping in between his parents.
That would be,
yeah, so I had to clarify that that was not the case. And
sorry, go ahead. No, finish that thought.
Just once that cleared up, he and I became pretty good friends. Nice. We play Rocket League and stuff still, even cool. as he's across the country. So
that's awesome. So I think we should like talk about like the sex and some of the questions that people would want to know.
Okay,
starting with, I think like this is probably when you get the most, like, do you guys all sleep in the same bed?
That is a constant issue because yes, when I crash at their place, I usually end up crashing in their bed. Except even a king with three full adults and sometimes two cats and sometimes a dog, like it just gets way too crowded in there. So yeah, I really enjoy the fact that I have my own space and my own bed. So when I do need to go and just like crash and zonk out, like I can do that.
Wait, at their place? Or no, you mean you have your own residence?
Yeah, I have my own residence. So I don't live with them full time.
Okay, but they do live together all the time.
Yeah, and they always have
their marital bed, and mm-hmm. when you stay there, you become part of their marital bed.
Yeah.
And do you guys all like fuck at the same time, or do you like, how's that work out?
Yeah, so I mean obviously they have intercourse when I'm not there, and we all three of us hook up when we're kind of all on the same page. And I will admit that's really hard to get all three of us on the same page.
Oh, hell, it's hard to get two people on the same page. Yeah.
What about, do you ever like do it just with one of them?
Yeah. So Mike and I often have intercourse, just the two of us. And then the three of us have intercourse, you know, less often than that. And then what I've been working on...
Let's call it sexy fun. Intercourse sounds so clinical.
Whatever.
I'm assuming it's much more exciting.
But trying to hook up with Mary is so hard. I get so in my own head and like self-conscious that she's going to see me as like, I don't know. I just need to get over myself and like do what I need to like please her.
Is that... Okay, I'm confused. Are you worried she's not going to like you or be impressed or something with your body and something? Or the way that you are loving her husband or the way that y'all fuck...
No, it's just like they're older than I am, right? So, and my experience with women and pleasing women is not as existential as his is, you know? So I do sometimes get caught in this trap of like, I'm not going to please her as well as Mike can please her.
Sexually.
Yeah. So then like, does she really want to have sex with me? And I've got to get over my own insecurities and just like actually try and build that relationship with her. Because
Interesting. That is something that I would never have thought, but I can see how that could be like.
Yeah. Well, and it's weird when you consider yourself like getting jealous or like insecure about how like a different man, when I'm a female, how a man would, in you know, I don't know. It's just totally different.
Okay, so one thought I had, and thank you. Aaron just reminded me, but I have a class, The Art of Orally Pleasuring Her, at sexyedschool.com.
Yeah.
So quite frankly, whether you're a man or a woman, if you want to learn how to make out with a pussy, I think that would be a great class. And I think then you'll gain some confidence from it too. Because more than anything, you know, I'm never just, technique, you do this and, you know, A, B, C, D or whatever. But it really is the head game, whether it's a pussy or a cock. So The Art of Orally Pleasuring Her. So yeah, anybody out there, go to sexyedschool.com. Go check it out, because that can make all the difference. Because if women can learn how to give blowjobs, women can learn how to make out with a pussy too. So,
And do you have to tell the other person in the throuple that you've hooked, like when you hook up with the other person, like if it's alone, is there like some sort of like open community? Like, is it something
how
that
do
you
know
run
what you
through?
Have to tell each other versus what's just okay?
Is it like a schedule? I don't know.
I mean, I think Mary pretty much assumes that when Mike and I are alone together, that we're probably having sex of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's been pretty okay with that. She does have some things where she doesn't really want us, like Mike and I, just having sex, the two of us in their bed.
Which I was thinking about
which I agree, because it crosses lines that like I don't really want to even approach. So like,
there is some territorial something, I think. Yeah. People need their space.
So we've kind of built out a little bit of other space in their house that feels a little more communal, and it's not somebody's territory. And so that's really where we get things on.
Wait, so, but would you guys be fooling around in part of their house when she's in the house?
So that's happened like a few times, and you're right, it feels totally weird and uncomfortable. But then like the few times it has happened has been because Mary has just not been into it, and she was either working or she was hanging out with one of the kids, or, you know, she had other stuff on her mind and she didn't actually want to join. Because so like
she
we said,
has an invitation. If you're, yeah. That's what I would assume.
It's open invitation. If any of us are having, you know, if any of us are doing anything, like it's obviously open invitation. But I do want to practice actively and openly inviting her beforehand, being like, hey, right now I'm feeling a little horny and I want to go do this in like this bedroom. Do you want to come, or is it okay if we go do it without, like, what's up?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, communication seems like paramount in something like this.
For sure. For sure.
I can't imagine, like, you know, I would be horrible at this. I would be so bad at this. It'd be like, I could last like maybe 3 days before I would just like
go crazy with the,
Just to me, I agree, I like the idea, and, you know, I certainly have no qualms hanging up with women or men, I've done both, but, like, it's just that, like, you have to be so open and so willing to, like, address issues, and that's just not, I feel like, not, you know,
me. But it's really hard, but it also meant that, like, we haven't had an issue that we've swept under the rug thus far. Like, you just can't do that.
Yeah. Well, that's huge.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, like. I am so, like,
Tina wants to sweep everything under the rug.
Yes, literally. But, you know, you can't do that, right? Because then I feel like then, this is that three friend thing where, like, two friends getting up on the third or the, you know, that kind of stuff. Then I feel like that's what starts to happen. Like, one person goes to complain to another, and then, like, it's, you know.
Well, and that's, like, happened a couple times, and it really is up to the third person who can feel a little bit of a step back. You know, if any of us are able to kind of see that outside perspective, it's on that person to act as mediator and bring it up and be like, hey guys, I see you both are doing this and it's ridiculous and I hate it and it's putting me in a really uncomfortable position. What are we going to do about it? And so we've done that a few times. And that's kind of where the rule of like not hooking up on their bed came from. That's where, you know, just some of those things.
Well, do you ever feel like because you're the third, which, by the way, is, I'm pretty sure this is where the term unicorn comes from, right? That this elusive, hypothetical, like, dreamy situation where a married couple gets another woman who's just happy, because people think of it from the male perspective, like, oh, you're so lucky you've got this other woman you can kind of fuck and stuff. So,
yeah.
But as that the third, how hard is it?
Oh my god,
for you? Okay, and maybe we'll have to come back to the jealousy issues and stuff. But do you think that they talk a lot when you're not there and stuff? Is that hard to deal with conversations and things without you?
So I mean, everybody talks, right? And so to expect them not to talk about me when I'm not there is kind of ridiculous. But if what I've done is what I think is right, and if I've been, you know, doing, I don't know, if I'm doing what I feel is right, then I'm not worried about them talking trash about me.
Wow. That's a lot of confidence. That's a good thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's a little bit foolish and like, but it also goes into the, like, don't read the nonverbal cues when you're in a relationship, because like, if I wake up exhausted one morning and I've got resting bitch face and Mike comes in and he's like, wow, you're really angry at me because you've got this resting bitch face, this nonverbal cue. I'm like, well, no, actually, I'm just really tired. Like, don't read further into things than you need to.
Or maybe notice those. It's okay to notice them, but then follow them up with conversation. Yeah. Don't just rely on things. And that's true. And probably the same thing. Don't rely just on what we say, because sometimes we say shit that isn't actually true. When we say, I'm okay, and we don't really mean it. So, yeah, I think the idea is just follow up with stuff.
Yeah.
So what about when you guys go out? Like, how does that work?
Oh, my God. We all love that, because it's so much fun just to get dressed up and, like, feel confident and, like, walk out like we have the coolest relationship in the room. Because, like, I really think we do. And I love them so much. And they love me. And it's, I don't know. we feel pretty proud and powerful in our dynamic. And so when we get to go out into the world and show that off, it's really exciting.
God, so when you go to dinner, it's like, and the three of you and stuff. It's
yeah.
Just, do people stare? Well, like, and like, oh, are my people gosh. Curious?
Yeah, of course they stare. And like the waitress or waiter, whoever it is, will ask us like, who's paying? What's happening? And they'll see, you know, like our hands on each other's thighs. And they'll just kind of give strange, what's going on here faces. So
do they ever ask?
I haven't actually been asked openly by a staff.
Wow. Plus, I just realized because they are older, they're significantly yeah. older than you, right? There's how much, I don't know.
Yes. So
20 years difference, something?
I think 17 years. Okay. Yeah.
So probably they're thinking this is parents daughter, yeah. and yeah. daughter. And then that would really be
really confusing, uncomfortable.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably more uncomfortable than thinking it's just a threesome, actually. Yeah. So that's kind of funny.
But they're both good looking people. And I don't know. I think I'm pretty cool. So
I'll just roll with it. That's definitely confidence and probably stuff that you get used to after a while, right? Like, yeah. you probably first time was like, you know, whatever. And now it's more
yeah. easy. Well, and if I'm not feeling confident about it, then it starts to feel like I'm being a token that's just kind of being shown around. But when I actually take ownership of this relationship, like I'm choosing to be in this relationship.
Yeah.
I want to be here. So why would I feel embarrassed about it? So yeah, it's a little bit fake it till you make it with the confidence thing.
I mean, that is, it's pretty amazing. And, I guess yeah. last, like my real last question, like, where do you see yourself within this relationship in like 20 years? Like, what do you see? How do you see yourself in 20 years?
Is this a long-term kind of thing? Is this something that people do for long terms?
Well, I don't know what anybody else in the world is doing, but I foresee that they'll always kind of be in my life as loved ones. And I really hope that the sexual part can also continue for forever. But if that part, you know, that whatever, I really want to be friends with them at the very least for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. But I also am in an entirely different stage of my life, and I want to find somebody that I can, you know, have kids with and do that shenanigans. Mm-hmm. Cause they're out of that stage.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So how would that play out? Would you consider bringing like a fourth, like your own kind of, I guess, partner in, and then
yeah are this? You free right now? Actually, that brings up a good point. Are you free right now to date other people as well as them?
Yeah I date. Okay. Yeah, I date, I hook up with other men and women, and yeah.
And they're okay with that?
Yeah.
And you tell these other men and women about your situation? Or
oh well, that's the catch 22 is I have not figured that part out. Like, I went on three dates with one man, and I was really interested in him, and he was pretty interested in me, and it was getting to the point where I needed to tell him, otherwise I was feeling like I was doing him a disservice. And so I openly told him everything, and he chose not to communicate any further. And I was like, okay, well, that's fine, and that's totally your choice. It just makes it really hard.
Ghosting by anybody? Ghosting is just kind of shitty. If you don't like somebody's situation, then just feel free to tell them at something. Yeah. But
So yeah, I've been ghosted a whole lot after telling about my situation. But I think that's more indicative of their, mm-hmm. like, their own headspace, and, you know, so I try not to take any of it personally.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But then do you have the obligation to tell Mike and Mary what's going on, or is it don't ask, don't tell, sort of?
I mean, I don't have to tell them, but usually when I meet a really hot girl that I hook up with, I'm really excited to tell Mike all about her. And when I meet a really handsome man that's tattooed and gorgeous, I tell Mary all about it, and we gossip and whatnot. None of it feels obligatory, but I do like just talking to them about it.
So. Oh, that's nice. And they don't get jealous or threatened or anything?
No. I mean, I'm sure they get a little bit jealous because everybody gets jealous. But they don't take it out on me in any way, shape, or form. And they don't take it out on our relationship. So.
And it's not enough to make you hold back or something. No. Or feel conflicted. No. That's awesome.
I think they would be more jealous if they knew I was openly dating other people and just not telling them anything about it. Because then I really could be in this other long-term relationship with somebody and they wouldn't know, and that would just feel dirty.
Yeah. So. Okay. That's like I say, secrets, unless it's a surprise party. Secrets, things that you are worried about or hesitant to share with somebody, that becomes a wedge as opposed to it being a...
And it hangs like a sword of Damocles. Like, when is it going to fall? Is it going to destroy our whole relationship? Is it just going to make them not trust me as much? Like, it's just not worth it to hide those things. So, or at least I've made that decision that it's not worth it to hide those things. So,
wow. And so thinking about when we talk about the long term, there is a movie called Professor Marston and the Wonder Women. Have y'all seen that movie?
I don't think so.
I have not.
Oh my gosh. I so recommend it. One, it's incredibly sexy. It's Professor Marston is the one who invented, created Wonder Woman, the series and stuff.
Oh.
And it is about, it's a true story about him and his wife. And they added a third. They added a woman.
A Wonder Woman?
Yeah. And well, so Wonder Woman was, it came about through their sort of exploration with BDSM and sexy and that all the ropes and the female empowerment and stuff, like the Amazonian woman.
Yeah.
Really an incredible movie. Like I said, based on truth. And sorry, but it's been out years, so I'm going to ruin the end for you. The amazing thing is that they ended up at a time, I forget if it was the 50s or 70s, whatever, when this was not okay. They were living together and had kids and stuff. Each of the women had kids. And then when the Professor Marston died, the women stayed together and stayed friends. Like,
oh,
it was
I love
just
that.
Such a beautiful
love story.
Yeah,
but were they actually together, the women, or were they just married, like, kind of with the same man?
So I think they all played together and stuff. And then I think they made things, again, I watched it so many years ago. I think then maybe they stopped kind of the sexy between them, but obviously they were still friendly and stuff. So
I mean, there's that show Big Love. Remember that one?
Yeah, Big Love. But that's more and that about, was the like, Mormons, yeah, Mormons and stuff. Yeah, and Sister Wives. And they never, that was a more of what, like the ancient, in the biblical times, where a man would have multiple wives. And there was a more of a schedule where he was going to be and whatever. But yeah, it's really, those stories happen, actually. It's really kind of interesting how they do.
It's true. I think if you talk just about polyamory, it happens all around the world all the time. In cultures that aren't the United States, or like most of the Western world. But it happens ever, Africa, certain parts of like Asia, you know. So I think that
it was all through the Bible. So when people say, oh, it's not right, or their religion forbades it and stuff, I'm like, I'm sorry, this is exactly from whence we came. So, and it just is there.
Just to be clear, we're talking about entirely consensual agreements.
Oh, yes, right, because cheating, right, that's the thing. Polyamory is so much healthier, and it takes so much because there are multiple people involved, and you really do have to get everybody's okay and have everybody on the same page.
But I would also preface with what Kai's saying. Like, I think in a lot of these cultures, it's a little bit different, and I don't knock like something, but that's something that's like more cultural or religious. So I think that a lot of people don't have a say in whether they would choose maybe to be in certain types of situations. Like, maybe it's something that's just like acceptable, but in a different way. Here, I think it's something that's completely chosen. It's something that is, you know, it's a untraditional, I would say, lifestyle. So you really have to, and it seems to be, you know, there seem to be like quite a few challenges. You have to be built, be the type of person to be built for that, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. So one, absolutely, I think consensual. And even if it's religion, to me, you should be able to consent to your religion. You shouldn't just have to be stuck.
Right. But that shouldn't be like, what about somebody who's been in that for so long that they, like, if you haven't had time to experiment sexually, I don't feel like you have
that's a good
power to give consent to, like, you know, I don't know.
Well, except that if you haven't experienced, if you haven't experimented sexually, then why should you have the power to commit to a marriage?
No, so that's what I'm.
I think she's. Yeah, so but I think it's a good point either way. Like, you should be open to everything and then decide yourself. Right?
Yeah, like, because if you get into the sister wives situation, for some people that works really well, and I can see the appeal. But if you're somebody who's very sexual, like, that probably isn't a situation that you are going to be happy in for very long, because you're sharing a lot. And if, especially for some of those dynamics where it's a sister wives scenario where the wives aren't interested in finding partners outside of their one marital companion, I think you really need to have explored your own freedom to be able to consent to that.
Well, so I totally agree. I think that, but people are going to hear and think that, oh, you should only, it's those non-traditional ones, quote, that we're talking about. But I think that the fact is that everybody should be getting more in touch with who they are sexually before they commit to any sort of relationship.
Yeah, because even whether it be.
You simply don't know. And one of, I'm reading Betty Dodson, her book, Sex by Design. So Betty Dodson, from the 1950s through 70s and stuff, she was at the forefront of women's right to masturbate, recognition that the clitoris was not a lesser form of orgasm than just penetration, because that was the prevailing thought, was just get married to a man if you're a woman, and then you should have to, you should orgasm from penetration. And yet only 25% of people do. Betty Dodson was like, hello, there's this thing called the clitoris. You can stimulate it during penetration and have an orgasm. It was revolutionary. It was literally wrote a manifesto on liberating masturbation and clitoral orgasm. So I think that that's true. And I think that, frankly, the world would just be a better place if we learned to accept humans for all of our, which is our personality, it's our physical appearance, it's our talents, it's our sexual, it's our romantic, it's our spiritual side, everything, instead of just trying to block certain things out.
Yeah.
Erin, I mean, you're quiet. Like,
yeah, he is.
I know.
I mean, y'all have asked basically every question that I had.
I you can come up with like one that we
Well, have. I mean, so you've said there's a significant age gap between you and them.
Yes.
There, you're still free to date and everything like that, but you're hoping that this is still a lifelong relationship.
Yes.
So, in any relationship, there are sacrifices, but what happens? Have you prepared yourself for meeting a guy that you've said you wanted to settle down and have kids with, and him saying, this is not negotiable, I don't want to be part of that, or I don't want you to be part of that, I want it to be a one-on-one relationship, and you can be friends with them, but I don't want that. Basically, I want the intimate and the emotional part of their relationship to completely cut ties.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Is that always going to be a deal breaker for you, or have you prepared yourself for having to have that conversation with a guy that you become infatuated or in love with, or you see, you know, hey, 40 years down the line, we're still going to be together and we're going to have grandkids and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, at that point in time, you're going to have to look at it and go, well, which one's more important to me? Do I, you know, continue with what I've already committed to? Or do I kind of give in to the human and animal instinct of creating a progeny and putting out more offspring and continuing my bloodline kind of thing?
Yeah, no, that is the number one dilemma. And I've thought about it, you know, there and back and there and back and there and back. And what I've kind of come to is that if I find somebody in my life that even if I've fallen head over heels for, if they're willing to tell me that, not even just being with this other couple, but I feel like a part of me is just that I am polyamorous. And so for somebody to say it's non-negotiable, you can't be like who you think you are. You can't be polyamorous while you're with me. Well, then unfortunately, as sad as it is, that seems like a pretty dysfunctional relationship. And I don't think I would be willing to do that. But then again, I'm also 24, and so maybe things would totally change. And I don't want one person to step into my life at some point and like feel like they can just turn everything around, because I've spent a lot of time like figuring out who I am and what I want, and that seems like they would be trying to put themselves above what my needs are.
And I appreciate that, and I think the problem with that is that there are so many people who just sort of, we accept monogamy because that's what we've just been taught. That's what we've seen. And so for people who tend to prefer monogamy, it's this idea of, well, when you say, oh, I just am polyamorous, they're thinking, oh, no. It's a lot like people used to think with bisexual. No, you just don't want to decide. You're trying to get the best of everything. But I do think that there is a good sense of that sometimes people generally are monogamous. I tend to be that way. And I think what you're saying, Kat, is that if somebody came to me and said, hey, Beth, you're awesome, whatever, but I'm only going to be with you if you become polyamorous, I'd be like, well, that's not really me. So it's probably not going to work, right? You could be as awesome as you are, but you're poly and I'm monogamous. In the same way, if you want to live out in the fucking country, I don't. Then you're not the right person for me. Been there, done that. So I think that that's a good point, but that you're right. You have to have this certain thing. But to Aaron's point, I think actually maybe what you're saying, that it might be a different question if somebody said, you know, I want to form a primary relationship with you, Kat, and I want you and I to be the primary relationship instead of this, you being you, the primary being that throuple. Yeah. That, I think, would be perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
And something that might be more...
And that's the transition that we all already know is going to happen. Because the fact is, I love kids. I want to have kids. I want to have my own kind of primary relationship. You know, maybe I want to get married. I'm not sure. But I want that for certain.
It would be a committed a relationship, whether or not it's a legal marriage. Right?
And even if that person didn't want to personally be polyamorous, if they were okay being monogamous and also letting me flirt with whoever I wanted to flirt and... be open and whatnot, like that could be functional. It just kind of depends on how much you're willing to work with each other, I guess.
And this person that you want to find, it could either be a man or a woman, right? You're not really picky. Like, you're not looking for a certain gender. It's both.
No. So somebody I can hang out with and spend most of my time with would be nice.
Yeah. Partner.
So have you considered letting... This is probably going to cross a line for you, but have you considered... basically having Mike be the father of your kids and telling him, hey, I know you're old and you're already getting done with the raising kids part.
Yeah.
You don't actually have to do that. I just want what I'm going to get out of you. Like, I want to be able to have a kid and raise it on my own. And you have the pieces that I need to get said kid.
Would you be a sperm donor is really what you're asking then?
Yes and no. Because sperm donor is clinical and it's shoot your shit in a cup and they inject it inside you. This is hey, we're going to have sex, we're going to make a child, but I don't expect you to do any of the actual fatherly part of it.
Right, so like, that's what I'm saying. So bio dad without being, quote, father.
Yeah. So, like, I would consider that, except for the fact that I know who Mike is, and I know he wouldn't be able to just kind of step back like that, and Mary also knows that.
Oh, yeah, and for Mary, that I would think that would be a whole thing, too.
Yeah, and so we had a pretty serious conversation about it from the get-go. What's going to happen with kids? And we made the decision to ask Mike to get a vasectomy, and he did. In the span of, like, 3 weeks, we had this discussion, and 3 weeks later, he done it, right? And so now, not only does that just take that discussion off the table and just make it so much easier and more comfortable, like, I also don't have to worry about birth control because I'm having singular sex with him that isn't going to lead to children. Obviously, I like use protection with other couples and stuff or other partners, but it does make things a little bit less confusing.
Interesting. I feel like that's a good kind of way to like figure that out, mediate that. Like,
yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Have
one conversation with it about it. Get it done with.
So, Aaron, what would you think if your wife decided that she was interested in women and was wanting to bring a woman into your relationship? How would that be for you?
Probably wouldn't work out.
No?
No.
Because
that's such a loaded question to ask someone who isn't, like, in this life. Like,
right, that's what I'm saying. I just want his... I'm not saying it should be okay. I'm saying, so what's the... What's the thought? Would it be jealousy? I mean, I just don't know.
Well, I mean, the root cause is always going to be jealousy. But there's also just the... I mean, when we took our marriage vows, we vowed that it was her and I against everything in the world. It doesn't matter. And, you know...
I can't
everything comes and goes. Family is always forever. But even if something happened... God forbid, with her family or my family turning on and treating the other one, you know, treating one of us like we are subhuman or like we're not enough.
Oh, God.
No matter what, the other one, she or I, are there to stand up and shield that and defend that other person.
Right.
So it's not what we've promised is it's you and I. There is nothing else in this world that matters more to each other than in this entire universe than the other person.
Yeah, and that's an impressive commitment. And, I mean, props. I mean,
Yeah, he takes.
Well, that's
the
point of marriage. I mean,
which I
agree,
right?
That's the point of marriage. Yeah. Marriage is not for you. It's not a it's all about you.
Well, okay, hold on.
Marriage is about you are living for that other person. Hold you are committing yourself to that other person to be about them.
Okay,
everything about
but
them.
There has to have been like Mike and Mary, for example, right? They were probably in a I'm guessing in a committed marriage before. Like, did they, or were they polyamorous when they or were they sorry in throuples before they met and stuff like that?
When they got engaged and when they got married, Mike made it very clear that this was something he was interested in, and at some point when their relationship was sturdy enough that they wanted to pursue this.
Oh my. Okay. So wait. I totally love that he knew this before and also recognized that this doesn't work until you have that primary relationship has to be really fucking strong.
So that's what I'm
good
saying.
For
like,
them. Sorry.
I think with most relationships that are like just two couples, let's say even like if you're whatever it is, like homosexual, heterosexual, whatever, it's not generally going to work out if you come back in 5-10 years and be like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this when the other person is like fully committed. I don't know. That's where I can see it breaking down. But if you're honest in the beginning, like.
Right. And I could see that somebody would absolutely have the right to say, this was our agreement. And so I want to stick with it. And that's totally cool. I'm also okay with people saying, you know what, we've done this so well that now if we want to make some changes, because there are couples that will then, they've been monogamous and they've got a great relationship, and then they decide, for example, to enter swinging. And
oh, yeah.
The difference
swingers
between,
are funny.
The difference between swingers. Well, hold on. So let me just, so swingers are people who, when we talk about polyamory, again, amour is love. So we're talking about multiple romantic relationships that also include sexy. Swingers might have sex with other people, but they don't necessarily, actually, they specifically, they swinger is having sex, but not other romantic relationships.
No, I get that.
So just for people out there that may, because that's a question that's constantly, changed. So,
yeah.
Okay, sorry. So then you were saying.
So have you guys swung? Like, is that something that you guys have participated in or something you've participated in?
So technically, I don't think I am included as a swinger because I'm not.
You're not a couple.
Yeah, I'm not married to them, I guess.
Well, no, but again, swinger can be people who just simply enjoy sexual relations without expecting a romantic relationship in return. So there are single people who are swingers. It started as wife swapping where you did have to be partnered, but now swingers are just basically the willingness to engage in sexual fun without expectation of romance.
Yeah. So we definitely, like, before COVID kind of happened, we had membership at a local swingers club in Austin. And we met a lot of really interesting people, but even then, like you say, like no relationship, but it really was. We needed to have some sort of friendly relationship.
Friends. Yes. Yeah, swingers often have friends. They just don't have that romantic expectation.
So then if we would ever meet a couple, like it really had to be that the male was interested in Mary and that the female was interested in Mike for that kind of swinging thing to happen.
But then where did you fit into that?
And then I just joined in with whoever I wanted.
What's the most number of people that you've been like in a sexual situation with, like an orgy or like a gangbang?
Don't feel judged here because Tina's had all sorts of fun experiences.
Don't worry.
No, I think so. I was with like three people at the same time, and there was like another couple having sex on the same bed. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the most aggressive I had gotten with that. And I still kind of tapped out of that pretty quickly.
Five people is a lot.
It was a lot of sweaty bodies in like the same little area. Yeah. And I stood up and watched for a minute and was like, okay, cool. I'm going to go get some water and a drink now.
Oh my God.
In the kinky community, they say, go get a cookie. Or at least my kinky, go get a cookie. It's like, oh yeah, I need a cookie now.
Yeah. Well, that is that's a lot of work.
That was actually all of our first date though. We all
no way.
Yeah. Because Mike thought it would be more comfortable for me to go on a date with him and his wife if it was also around a bunch of other wives and husbands that were open and stuff. And so I did really enjoy it. It was fun.
But wait, was that your first date with him or just the first date with the three of you?
That was our first date. Unless you want to count him sitting at my bar every day for a month as dates. But that was our first experience.
That would not typically be my advice for a first date, I have to say. But I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's That's interesting.
Aaron's making some faces.
I know. Well, and I'm thinking at some point I want to come back to this idea of the marriage absolutely being for the other person.
Okay, I would have a really difficult time if someone had told me, hey, I want to, like, be in a... Like, I would have a... Even if I wasn't married, I would have a very difficult time thinking about... So would you.
Oh, like, I definitely would be.
So, like, think about your ex-husband. What would you say if he had come and said, hey, I'm going to bring...
Oh, yeah. No. You know, no, but again, we didn't have a strong relationship. That was the problem.
Yeah.
That he didn't like me. So there was reason for me to believe that if he brought somebody in, he might like her more and stuff. I mean, all sorts of shit. But
yeah.
Yeah. No, that would not have been good. But...
And that is kind of the tricky part with my... dynamic of the relationship is that, like, usually you would want to build up your relationship individually with a single person first and then add other, you know, other people, other lovers, other partners, whatever. But I'm kind of backwards where I have these other people and individuals that I love and I care for and I want to have sex with, but I also need to create some sort of primary relationship. And yeah, that sometimes feels like an impossible task, but we'll see. Lots of rejections. So,
well, and I would suggest, just like with any 20-something-year-old, that in some ways it's good because you are still so young that having a primary relationship start now might not, you know, your life is still changing so much that you don't really know what you want your life to look like in 5 years, let alone 10 years. And so to pick a primary partner now based on what you both think right now is just subject to so much risk. So in some ways it's kind of good that this is your dating phase and to gain the confidence. Because learning how to work within a relationship of any sort is a really important and big deal. And most of us don't learn that. We get married and then we just stumble through. And that's part of the reason why our divorce rate is 50%. Because it's brutal. So. And then 25% of marriages are sexless. Which
God,
also
that's sad.
It's really sad because people don't know how to talk and to think. So, yeah, it's just...
Yeah, I mean, it's a really adult, I would say adult situation. Even for someone in their 20s, like, I think that's a really something that... Certainly I could never... Again, like, certainly something I would not have, like, the maturity level to deal with. Yeah. So, you know.
But my personality type is also a strong mediator and empath. So I am naturally good at... feeling what the other people around me are feeling, and I'm also very good at kind of navigating the waters when I know what people are feeling.
Yeah.
But that's kind of hard because sometimes in relationships you're almost sometimes better if you're not as attuned to other people, because when you're so, as an empath also, I'm so busy knowing what everybody else's feelings.
I have no idea what I'm feeling.
Exactly. I can't get to mine because I'm so busy trying to take care of the other people's that it's hard. So
yeah, and I will admit, I totally think that that is what is kind of hampering mine and Mary's relationship right now, is just that I am in my own head about it. And I really do need to take my own advice. Stop listening to her nonverbal cues. Like,
or just follow up directly.
Yeah.
All right, so I have to ask also, how the hell do you tell other people, your friends, your family, et cetera? How do you tell people that you want to do this kind of what would be seen nothing derogatory, but crazy? I say we use crazy because what you do is crazy. What I do is crazy. We just have to laugh together. So how do you tell people? How do you, like, oh my goodness, what do people say?
Yeah, so I try to only really tell people that, you know, I'm comfortable with or I trust or I just don't care about, you know, enough that if they judge me for it, it doesn't matter. Which, I don't know, maybe that's got its own set of issues. But usually I just try to throw it out there, lay everything on the table. And, you know, if they have questions, please ask. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable with my situation. I don't want to, like, force it onto anybody. But it also is, like, who I am. And I want to be able to talk about my loved ones whenever I can or whenever I want to. And so, I don't know, just throw it out there and see what happens.
I love that.
I think, with, like, a tinge of caution, you know,
yes,
to the situation, to, you know, read the room kind of thing.
Yeah.
I appreciate that you're willing to answer questions and stuff, though, because I know there is a sense and that you shouldn't have to, quote, be the one to teach the world. People feel that way in the LGBTQ because they get questions from so many that it just gets tiresome to feel like you have to explain it and justify it and whatever. But I do think that's part of the, when you forge a new path in life, sometimes you have to show people along the way what it looks like and talk to them about it.
And well, and then when you get questions from people, it's usually either one, sheer curiosity, or two, like maybe they're a little bit interested in it. Maybe like they've wanted to know how this would work because they would like to kind of recreate it in their own fashion. And so when you can give, when you can feel comfortable enough to give answers to it, I think it's fun. It opens the world to some interesting stories.
So, yeah, I suggest that people then just ask questions nicely and just say, well, it's okay if you don't want to answer, but if you don't mind, I would love to hear more about it and stuff and open the dialogue.
A great opener is, do you have the headspace and the energy to talk about this with me right now?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Or no, you know, because then if they don't, like, they don't owe you anything. I don't owe anybody any explanations or, oh my God, when the random person is like, oh, do you like sleep in the same bed? Like when we're doing it on a podcast, it's fun and it's exciting and stuff. But when I get asked that question like 10,000 times by every single person we meet at a bar or a restaurant or on a date, like it's just really irritating. It's like, mind your own business. If you want to ask me about stuff, like sit down, maybe buy me a drink and then ask me if I'm okay to answer all your questions. But yeah. I don't know. Beth's over there like,
well, I know, because I like, I just feel like the more we talk and the more we share, the better it is. That people are, it is different, and some people are really uncomfortable, and it's actually hard for them to ask the question, but they're dying to know. And to me, at least, once they get it and they get an answer, it becomes, oh, okay, so now I can talk, they can talk about it, right? Because it's a two-way thing. One, do you have the headspace or energy? And two, do they? Yeah. So, and sometimes it just comes out awkwardly.
But. Yeah.
But all right, but then so I have to also finish up, which is Tina mentioned, you know, anal. So is there this sense that, oh, if Mike isn't getting what he, you know, something from Mary, that then you have to pick it up? Or do you feel this obligation? Or do they talk? Do you know about their sexy life? Does she like?
Oh, yeah. Whatever. They send me Snapchats when it's just them. So, which I think is hysterical. I love it. But I also am like, I'm very open and I love it. And so like if they're getting it on and I'm just kind of at home on my own, if I don't want to go over to their space, they'll send me pictures and stuff and I can, you know,
get off yourself.
Yeah. Get off on my own. And that's actually been really helpful to our sex life because it's made all of us feel individually sexy and then made it easier to bring it to the table when it does happen. But sorry, I totally forgot your question.
No, that's okay. I would be so jealous, like FOMO. But so, okay, no, but that's going to be our next episode. We're going to focus on it. I've got so many questions about jealousy.
So,
but what about then, so different acts? Are there certain ones that you know or that she picks up or something? Or this sense of,
or like kinks? Just like do certain, some kinks. Of you have like kinks or fetishes that other...
Oh my God, yeah, we've got kinks out the wazoo.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of whatever we feel comfortable asking for is what you can get. And so if I'm really excited to do something and I'm not ballsy enough to like ask for it, well then
gutsy
enough to ask for it, then maybe I'm not ready for it yet. And I need to figure out why I'm hesitant to ask for it.
But do you feel like you have to do certain things or because he's not getting those from somebody else?
No, the only way I would feel that is, like, sometimes I'll be hesitant whether or not I want to have sex with Mike because, like, maybe he hasn't had sex with her in the last 3 days or something. But even that, again, is just a little bit of the jealousy where I'm, like, trying to prevent jealousy for her. And that just doesn't make any sense and it doesn't work and it's exhausting. So our relationship definitely isn't perfect by any means. It's a work of art.
No relationship. All right. Well, so when we start talking about jealousy... One of the questions I'm going to ask you is, what would happen if Mike started dating somebody else, another woman, how you'd feel? So,
oh, a better one? You should ask what happens when Mary starts dating somebody else.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you go, folks. So
yeah. So now you know. Tune in next week because we're about to go down a very long path of jealousy and toxicity and all kinds of stuff.
All types of relationships.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Yeah. Because jealousy comes about. I think it's the number one killer. And it's jealousy and fear. People, you know, stalking people on phones and looking through passwords and getting, oh my gosh, and doubting people. And it's just, yeah, there's so many ways that we self-sabotage. And sometimes we self-sabotage by cheating or doing different things. And sometimes we self-sabotage by just worrying about all the awful things that can
that happen. One.
Yeah. So we'll have to get into that next week. But for now, I mean, anything else that's on
I mean, to y'all's minds? All my questions have been pretty much answered.
Yeah, thank y'all so much for having me.
If there's one thing you can summarize for anybody, basically, if there's one thing you want as a message in like three sentences or less, what would it be? As far as thruples go.
Do you. Right? There's no formula for thruple. There's no formula for relationship. Just talk and do you. Figure it out.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. If you ever want to ask questions or submit, we can always get a hold of Kat. I think we have a way of getting a hold of her. I mean, she didn't just walk in off the street. But you can send us a message on Facebook at Come With Us Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram as well at Come With Us Podcast, on Twitter at Come With Us Pod. Or if email's the better way to do it, we will keep your name completely anonymous. We won't read it on air unless you really want us to. Come with us confessions at gmail.com. Hit us up there. Come with us confessions at gmail.com. Make sure you check out sexyedschool.com. Use that promo code come with us. No spaces to get your discount on that. Whether it's giving a blowjob, eating pussy, whatever you want.
Prostate orgasms.
Wait, that, are we saying come with us as in C-U-M or
no,
C-O-M-E?
C-O-M-E.
Oh, okay.
We couldn't spell it C-U-M or we wouldn't get anywhere. So C-O-M-E, Come With Us Podcast. And you can come with us any way that you want to.
Yep.
It'll just be fun.
And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever you want to call it, rate us 5 stars, leave a review, let everybody know. If you're not listening to us on Apple, that's fine. You can be the Android person. Just make sure you share it with at least two of your friends. That's the charge to you guys. Make sure you expand our listening audience and help us find as many willing ears as possible who want to learn about sex, loves, relationships, thruples, kinks, blowjobs. Fuck, what else have we talked about? Everything.
Fuck, exactly.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Everything
all
related
the different
to
ways.
Fuck.
Yes.
So,
any and all. The bare naked truth about love, sex, and relationships. I'm Beth Darling, your sexy genius. Thank you guys so much. Thanks, Kat, for joining us. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Aaron. It is always so much fun to Come With Us Podcast.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Come With Us Podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media at Come With Us Podcast and send in your questions, comments, and confessions to comewithusconfessions@gmail.com. Until next time, keep it fun, flirty, and naughty.